Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
But you may want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we're beginning here in the book of Matthew. If you remember last month, we talked about how the book of Matthew began. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And the fact that Jesus is the Son of David and that He'd come to establish His kingdom is one of the great message and themes of the book of Matthew. And then we went through that genealogy. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And on through we read for 45 generations where the Father begat the Son, and the Father begat the Son. Until we come down to Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 16, where the language is changed. Where it says that Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, which is called Christ. Did you see the change? It doesn't say that Joseph begat Jesus, does it? It simply says Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom? And we do not see this in the English language. But in the Greek language in which Matthew penned these words, the word whom is a feminine pronoun. Of whom? Of her. Of Mary. Of his wife. Was born Jesus. And so it's gone from the Father begetting the Son to the Mother giving birth to the Son. And there's a difference in that language. There's a great mystery here about the birth of Jesus. Who is this man? And where did he come from? And there is no other person at all like this in all of history. And even his birth is a great mystery that the Bible reveals to us and tells us what we need to know about that. And there were questions about that in his day. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, it says it was supposed that he was the son of Joseph. In Matthew chapter 33 and verse 15, they ask, is not this the carpenter's son? Whence then hath he this wisdom? And then it says in John chapter 6 and verse 24, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? How then does he say that he came down from heaven? And it may have been that they were throwing this into his face. When those enemies said in John chapter 8 and verse 41, we were not born of fornication. Jesus said, I proceeded and came forth from God. What is this mystery about His birth? About who is His Father? Where did He come from? And if it was a mystery to those of that day, then surely we can appreciate what a mystery this must have been to Joseph when he heard that his betrothed was with child. He knew the child was not his. And Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The passage we read was the word read from here said the word engaged. But the word engaged in our language and culture today doesn't mean the same thing as the word betrothed or the word espoused did back in their day. This was not just an agreement between two people. This was a legal arrangement to be betrothed. In fact, those who were betrothed to one another were already considered to be married as husband and wife, but they were not living together. In the custom of the time, it was necessary to assure the purity of this new bride. And so you would be married to your wife, but you would not be living together. And during that time of separation, following the legal aspect of the fact you're legally married, in fact, it would take a legal divorce to change that relationship. But during that time, the young maiden would be watched by guardians and would be in their care. And we know from the story in Luke that Elizabeth, while Mary was in the company of Elizabeth and Zacharias, five outstanding people that would watch her and accompany her, and she would not be left alone in the presence of a man during this time. And so it was during this time that she was found to be with child. And Joseph heard of this, and he knew the child wasn't his. It's before they came together. I do like the way the reading said he was a man of principle, which is a good paraphrase of what it says. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. Joseph had a sense of that which was right and that which was wrong, and he wanted to do what was right. And here, his betrothed is with child. What should he do? Well, he should put her away. But he was not going to make a public example out of her. He was going to do this privately. The penalty for adultery could even mean the stoning to death of the adulteress. But that's not what Joseph was going to do. He thought on these things, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But then in verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. There's many dreams in the Bible in which God is speaking to man in a dream. That's one of the ways that God chose to communicate to man in those days. There was another Joseph, son of Jacob, that had dreams in the Bible. Remember, now his brother says, here comes that dreamer. Remember that, the dreams he had? There were kings that had dreams. Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. The wise men had dreams. We'll read about another dream Joseph is going to have when he tells them to go into Egypt. We read about Peter, to whom God communicated to Peter in a dream when the great sheet came down filled with all the unclean things. And God said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten that which is common or unclean. And the Lord said, that which the Lord has cleansed, call not thou common. God communicating to man in a dream. And that's different than the dreams we have. We all have dreams, and a lot of time we wake up from our dreams and they're so silly and convoluted we can't even really tell what it was or repeat the dream because it was so ridiculous and so irrational how we put them together. But not these dreams. And these people did not awake from these dreams wondering, did I receive a message from God? When they received these dreams, they awoke from those dreams knowing that they had received a message from God. It was obvious to them that is what has taken place. And so God appears to Joseph here as an angel, sends an angel to appear to him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David. Now, isn't that what Matthew is about? The son of David? Jesus the Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham? And legally, the father-to-be is Joseph, the son of David. And I think that's going to carry great significance. Why? That's why that whole genealogy is there. I think I can show you further in the story the significance of the angel addressing Joseph as the son of David on this occasion. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Well, we read the details of that, or the details we need to know about that in the book of Luke. And while I don't want to change the text and go to a different place, I do want to look at Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 30, where it says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So that's what had taken place. And now she is found with a child, and the angel tells Joseph, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Three things there. One, the angel told Joseph that she would have a son. Now they didn't use ultrasound. The angel knew what was going on. And this was a revelation from God. This wasn't a guess about whether it be a boy or a girl. There was a son that had been promised, and a son would be given. She shall bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus. Well, it's a common name, but it's a significant name. The word Jesus means Jehovah saves. And then this, he shall save his people from their sins. I don't know what all the Jews may have been expecting, but they expected a Savior to come. They were expecting a physical salvation. They were expecting to be saved from these Romans. But Matthew here begins to introduce and to explain the spiritual nature of the kingdom that God's going to bring to pass. He'll save them from their sins. And so there's significance in the name and significance in this child. And then it says in verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It says these things were spoken of the Lord. I want us to go back and look at that prophecy. Some think in looking at that prophecy that those things were spoken of some child that was somehow born during that day. But that's not what this says. This says these things were spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And that is the fulfillment of these things. Let's go back to that prophecy and look at it in its context. Those words of that prophet long ago, and we'll go to Isaiah chapter 7. Joseph would know these things because Joseph would have been taught these. The little Jewish boys that were brought up in those days were taught in the synagogues the stories of old and about the prophets, and these things would have rang a bell in his ear when he heard this, because he would have heard this story. And there's a great mystery connected with this story as well about the meaning of the prophet's words, and the mystery that had sat and remained unsolved for about 1600 years. This begins with Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7. Ahaz is king in Jerusalem. And we read in the book of 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 1 that Ahaz did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord his God. And what Ahaz did was he rejected Jehovah, that old religion, those old stories, that old God. He turned to the new gods, the gods from the nations that were round about him, and turned and worshipped and served the idols that the heathen nations around them were serving, and put their trust in them and away from God. But you know, so often in our life, it's easy to do wrong when things are going well. And then when things turn bad and things get worrisome, a lot of times people turn back to God. But some harden their heart so that they will not do it. And now things have turned bad for Ahaz. For the nation of Israel, those 12 tribes had been divided for many years. And the northern tribes were antagonistic against the southern tribes. And there was this weak little king in the northern tribes of Samaria. His name was Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And it's interesting that Isaiah will hardly call his name. He'll call the name of his father, the son of Remaliah. He'll hardly mention Pekah. And Pekah had invited and joined in league with the king of Assyria. That's reason, the king of Syria. And the king of Syria had brought his armies down to the northern tribes and were camping amongst those northern tribes. And it was their intent and it was their plan to go up and take Jerusalem and take Ahaz off of the throne and put on the throne one called the son of Tabeel. And it says that when Ahaz heard this and the house of David heard that, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 2, that His heart was moved and the heart of His people is the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Well, you've seen that. Trees standing out here and the breeze blow by and the tree just shaking those breeze. And that was the fear that gripped their hearts when they heard that these two kings are coming down from the north to dispose Ahaz and to remove him off of his throne. But then Isaiah the prophet is told to go to Ahaz and assure him. Here's that opportunity for Ahaz to repent of his wicked ways, to turn from those ways and turn back to God in a time of need, in a time of help. And God is gracious and merciful and welcomes the return of those who have abandoned Him. Here's a situation where Ahaz needed God. And God wanted Ahaz to know that he was there. He sends Isaiah the prophet. And he sends him with his son, who has a strange name. Shur-Yashub is his name. And it has a meaning. The meaning of the name is a remnant shall return. And I'm told that the emphasis on that is on the remnant. And it would remind the house of David that God has promised that regardless of what happened to Israel, there'd be a remnant preserved because there was a promise made long ago to Abraham and to David that through them all the world would be blessed. And so going back with that reminder of his own son is a reminder of that promise that a remnant would return. Isaiah meets Ahaz and tells him he doesn't need to be afraid of these two smoking firebrands. That's how he described those kings. Now a firebrand is a burning stick. And these two kings are not even burning sticks. They're just smoking sticks. They may look like they're a fire, but they're just smoking up there. Their strength is almost spent. And it's almost in contempt and ridicule for them. You don't have to be afraid of those smoking firebrands. It shall not stand, he says. Neither shall it come to pass. But Ahaz has a problem. Ahaz has a faith problem. And he has rejected Jehovah. And he's not going to turn to Jehovah. So Isaiah told him, if you do not believe, in verse 9. Isaiah 7 verse 9, if you do not believe, then surely you will not be established. So Isaiah told Ahaz, ask for a sign. He commanded him to do this. This is in the imperative mood. He's commanding of Ahaz, you ask for a sign from Jehovah. And this is not just anything. Ask it in the depths beneath or in the heights above. Ask for a miraculous sign from Jehovah to confirm the truth of this. That God will be with them and they'll overcome and they don't have to fear. But Ahaz has turned his heart against God. And he doesn't want anything to do with Jehovah. His trust is in his own self or in some other nation or in those false gods. And he brushes this off that Isaiah says and says, I will not ask for a sign, neither will I try Jehovah. And that's what it means. I will not tempt the Lord. I'm not going to try Jehovah. I'm through with that. I have turned from that. And Isaiah says, O house of David, it's a small thing for you to weary men. But will you weary my God also? And so without asking, and in spite of the contempt with which Ahaz shows toward Jehovah, the prophet looks to the future and he sees. And he says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and she shall call his name Emmanuel. What were those strange words? How could this be that a virgin would have a child? How could it be that the child would be named God with us? The child would bear the name of God. I want you to notice the words of Isaiah there closely. When he says, O house of David. He's not just talking to Ahaz anymore. He's talking to Ahaz and all those of the house of Ahaz, but all those that would come from Ahaz and all that line of David down through the years. And it would go all the way to Joseph. When the angel said to him, "Thou son of David." These words that were spoken by that prophet 1600 years before the event echoed through the centuries and were intended to reach the ears of Joseph, who would take Mary to be his wife, bring that son up as his own. So I think that's the significance there of the angel addressing him as the son of Joseph. And he tells him that the child would grow to be able to learn to choose between good and evil. But before that period of time, the land and the kings you fear, they'll be forsaken of both of their kings. And you've got a bigger problem to worry about, Ahaz. Because Assyria is coming. You're looking at Syria and Samaria now, but Assyria is coming. It'll come like a flood on this land. Like the Jordan River overflowing its banks. And the water will become deeper and deeper and deeper and will come right up to the neck. Have no fear, house of David. Emmanuel. God is with us. There's a promise to be fulfilled. There's a covenant to be kept. And God will not let this go into utter ruin. The land would be spoiled. And the people would accuse Isaiah of being in conspiracy with the enemies. And they would turn from the voice of the prophet to the wizards of the land that mutter and peep. But that land that would be cast in that darkness, Isaiah says in chapter 9, they'll see a great light. And the light will shine in Zion and Naphtali. And then he tells them again about that sun. In Isaiah chapter 9, in those familiar verses, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end on the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forevermore." And then, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." And she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And that mystery that is cloaked in the words of Isaiah, a word which they could not understand at their time, but it gave them hope and something to hold to. That mystery that had gone unsolved for 1600 years, the angel brings that into the mystery of the child in Mary's womb, and the two mysteries explain each other, don't they? And now the story is known. And now the light begins to shine. Joseph understands. This is the promise. Those were the words. And this is the meaning. And so he wakes from that dream. And he takes unto him Mary, his wife. And he knows her not until she brings forth her firstborn son. And the angel had bid him, he calls his name Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful story? So many things about the life of Christ that are fascinating and wonderful and beautiful in that if we'll take the time to study. But now let me ask you this. What about you? Do you believe? Well, Ahaz did not. And Joseph did. And the words of that prophet echo like a warning down through the ages. If you do not believe, then surely you will not be established. These things are written that we might believe. And that child that Mary bore was worthy of those names of Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that's what He can be to you if you believe. So with these things written for that purpose, I inquire you to think about what Joseph did. Joseph did not fear to take unto him Mary, his wife, and we should not fear to embrace Jesus as our Savior.